The Patriot counterpoints to propaganda.
Truth, liberty, and the real American way.
You have now enlisted in the Denton and Sasquatch Show.
The Denton and Sasquatch Show.
This is your beacon of truth in a world of liars, thieves, and whores. We are podcasting patriots, not giving you spin or narrative, but rather calling balls and strikes. Freedom can never be taken for granted, and this show is proof of that very notion. Simple as that, and that is us, the Denton and Sasquatch Show. We always want to hear from you, good or bad. Contact us, DentonandSasShow@gmail.com. In this ever-changing world, you need to adapt, improvise, and overcome. So get involved, never back down, and never surrender the truth. Welcome to the DNS Show. I am Sasquatch, and he is Denton. Okay, Denton is not here tonight. Big surprise, I know. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Denton said he lost his voice. Talking to his mom, his mother-in-law? I don't know. I don't remember, but we do plan on making another show this week, so that's the plan. Don't know if it's going to happen, but we're going to try to make another show this week, so make sure you hit that notification bell or whatever lets you know that the shows have dropped and you can catch both shows this week. But since you're here, you might as well hang out and listen to what I got to say, because some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it may even be a little funny. Actually, some of it at the end is very funny. But we're going to start off. I want to talk about where I live. I live, and this all rolls into something I recently found, or I should say found again. But I live in a little, how do you put it? I live at the base of a mountain, and the mountain is a mountain resort. So there is skiing on top of the mountain, you know, a lake, summertime fun, all that kind of stuff up there. But I live at the base of that. And I moved to this city, which has 10,000 people in it, from a city that had 200,000 people in it. So I'm happy about that. I like being away from people. But the other day, I stumbled across, and I've seen these before. I just had never bothered to look for it after moving here about 5 years ago. I stumbled across our local sheriff's crime page, which this is a great resource. Everybody probably has one where you live. So go to your police department or your sheriff's department and just go on their website and check out their crime page. Sometimes they call it the crime blotter, or I don't know. There's probably 1,000 different names for it. But basically what it is a map of your city, and it will have little icons on it that show you like a car swerving. Somebody got a DUI there. Or a gun. That means somebody robbed somebody with a gun, shot a gun, used a gun in a crime, whatever. And there's one with cocktails, and there's one with drugs, and there's just all kinds of little icons there for you. And I was surprised to see that there were zero icons in my area. I mean, pleasantly surprised, but I like where I live, we don't have our own police department. We are an unincorporated city, so we use the neighboring, well, the county sheriff as our police department. And where I live is kind of sort of at the end of the road, and occasionally some people might have a meth lab in their home or be distributing drugs. But other than that, it's really not a lot of crime. And we have a lot of homeless people that come through here, and for whatever reason, I'm happy about it. But for whatever reason, they kind of just stick to themselves. So I was pleasantly surprised to see no crime in my general area. But as I went further out, I started noticing more and more icons. And this is the areas that I have to drive through to get home. And in two of the spots, I noticed there was guns. So I clicked on them. And both of these times on the same street that I travel down quite often, it was reported that somebody was shooting at cars. So, needless to say, I'm not going to take that street for a while. Plenty of other roads I can access that don't have people shooting at cars. But I just thought I would mention that because it's a great resource for everybody. Because, you know, crime is going up. I know they tell you crime. No, crime's coming down. The statistics say crime is coming down. But no, that is a falsehood. It is not coming down because a lot, and we've talked about it here on the show, a lot of the bigger cities are failing to report their crime to the FBI. Like, they don't even report it. So when the FBI makes their report on crime, it looks lower because there's a lot of big cities, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, that don't even bother to submit their crime. So, of course, it's going to look like it's coming down, but it's really not. It's getting worse. So there's that. I just thought I would mention that. Next up, I have to ask. Hold on a second. I have to ask. Please, please, please stop calling these people liberals. The definition of a liberal, it's an adjective, willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas. Two, relating to or denoting a political or social philosophy that promotes individual rights, civil liberties, and free enterprise. They are none of those things. None. They are authoritarians. They are neo-Marxist Democrats. And that is what you should start calling them. Just call them what they are. They don't want you to drive the car you want. They don't want you to own guns. They don't want you to live where you want to live. They only support businesses that do what they say. You want propane for heating? Nope. You want free speech on social media? N-O-P-E. Again and again, the neo-Marxist Democrats want to tell you what you can and can't do, what you can and can't say. They don't respect anyone's different opinion. They are not for individual rights. It's all hive mind to them. Free enterprise? Sure, as long as it's the free enterprise they approve of. So stop calling them liberals. Speaking of which, from Bloomberg, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson has a plan to help tackle soaring car thefts in the city. Sue the automakers. Well, that makes sense. The city has filed a civil suit against Kia Corp and Hyundai Motor Corp for failing to include engine immobilizers in various models, which is causing a steep rise in vehicle thefts, reckless driving, property damage, and a wide array of related violent crimes in Chicago, according to a statement on Thursday. Now, this is a little bit old. You've probably heard about this. Thefts of Kia and Hyundai cars have surged across the country after social media users exposed security flaws, sparking what's been termed the Kia Challenge, where people live stream their larceny. At least 20 state attorneys in the U.S. have urged, now listen to this, they've urged Hyundai and Kia to enhance their anti-theft measure. Urging is different than suing to make you. But anyway, and New York Mayor Eric Adams has blamed social media for corrupting the young people. So these young people, the youths, are going around stealing Kias and Hyundais, and it's Kia and Hyundai's fault? All right, you'll see where I'm going with this in a minute. There are no greater victim shamers than Democrat officials in crime-ridden areas. This is from Crowder with Louder. I didn't want to use this, but it's what popped up when I wanted to talk about this. And there is no better example of this than St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones, who has further proved the abysmal failure of her mayorship. Jones plans to hold local businesses accountable for violent crimes. Yes, you heard that right.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations. So how can we hold those business owners accountable and also bring down crime? And then some of the things that we're already doing, we're finding that other mayors are doing as well.
There you go. You heard it straight from the Marxist mouth. Convenience stores are being robbed, so they want to hold the convenience stores accountable. Do you remember when Democrats were the party of "We must believe all victims"? Just wait, because it is coming. And mark my words, in the near future, there will be an uptick in rapes. And these Marxist politicians will be saying things like, "Well, these women need to be held accountable for what they were wearing." And, "How dare they tempt these poor, innocent young men rapists?" Ladies, you're all going to look really good in burkas. Up has become down, left is right, and people keep voting for these morons. Speaking of morons, a driver was taken into custody after trying to drive through the gate at an employee entrance to the FBI's field office in Atlanta, Georgia. Officials said that the unidentified driver tried to follow an authorized car through the gate just after noon on Monday, April 1st. Before they could get through, a pop-up barrier was deployed, stopping the car in its tracks. The driver then exited their vehicle and tried to enter the facility on foot. Not smart. Officers with the DeKalb Police Department took the driver into custody and turned them over to the FBI, which is beating the hell out of them as we speak. No, I'm just kidding. Which is handling the case. Tactical vehicles surrounded the red SUV as agents checked the car for possible explosives. Officials said that there were no injuries as a result of the incident. FBI is assessing federal charges with the U.S. Attorney's Office, a spokesperson said in an email to Newsweek. The driver's identity has not been released, and a motive for their actions has yet to be determined. Well, we can easily write off that it was a MAGA extremist, because if it were, that would be the headline of the article. MAGA extremist tries to drive into the FBI office. So chances are we're never going to hear the driver's identity or pretty much anything else about this case, because that seems to be the way it sort of works. Let's see, moving on from the FBI, let's go to the ArizonaStatePress.com. Now, this one, let me check here. Yeah, this one I heard on the radio. I heard this guy, Dr. Owen Anderson, he was being interviewed. And I thought his story is interesting, so I looked it up. And it really goes, it's about DEI and all that kind of crap. And personally, I think all the transgender stuff, all the DEI stuff, all this little minutia kind of stuff is just fodder that they throw out there to keep us sort of juggling balls and not paying attention to what is really going on. But at the same time, you can't overlook this stuff, or they'll just push it through and we'll be stuck with it for the rest of our lives. So it's one of those things where you got to play, you got to pay attention to it, but you got to, not become like obsessed by it. Because some people really get, crazy about the transgender thing or this DEI stuff. And like I said, it's important. You got to pay attention to it, but don't let it distract you from all the other things that they're doing behind our backs. All right. The Goldwater Institute is suing the Arizona Board of Regents on behalf of Dr. Owen Anderson, a professor of philosophy and religious studies, and state resident D. Ladd Gustafson over the mandatory diversity, equity, and inclusion training for ASU employees. An ASU spokesperson said the lawsuit is false and without merit, and said that the university trains its faculty on its commitment to inclusiveness and the success of students from all walks of life. Well, of course, that liar, thief, and whore said that. That's what he gets paid to say. The lawsuit was filed with the Maricopa County Superior Court on March 19th, and ASU was named specifically as being in violation of state law. The lawsuit seeks the court to declare the DEI training requirement unconstitutional and permanently enjoin ABOR, A-B-O-R, from I guess that's the Board of Regencies, from using public money to impose, implement, administer, require, or grade the inclusive communities training that presents any form of blame or judgment. The lawsuit references a state law that states that the state agency may not require an employee to engage in training, orientation, or therapy that presents any form of blame or judgment on the basis of race, ethnicity, or sex. The lawsuit claims the training is in violation of state law because it uses taxpayer funds to mandate diversity training. Anderson has refused to participate in the training. So as I was listening to this guy on the radio, he was talking about how basically during this training, they wanted him to admit that he has white privilege and admit and agree that he's to blame and should be judged for all this stuff. So that's why it says that the law says that they can't require anybody to blame or judge themselves or whatever. So, yeah, I'm sure we've all had to do this stuff at our work. I know I have to do stuff like this at my work. Now, my work doesn't go into craziness where they make me blame myself, but apparently this one did. So I'm all for this guy to sue the crap out of these people. And we all need to start doing this. We need to fight back. Like I say in the beginning of the show, never surrender, and push back. Because if we don't push back, they're just going to steamroll this crap over us. And again, don't become obsessed with this stuff, because like I said, a lot of this is just fodder. Keep you busy and not paying attention to what's going on behind the green curtain. But it still needs to be paid attention to. And we as a group of Americans, doesn't matter who you vote for or who you pray to or whatever, just as Americans, we need to push back against this crap. And I use the word crap whenever I want to mention California. I've got a couple of stories here from California. I am not proud of living in the state. I really am not. Luckily, where I live, I kind of am protected from this crap. I mean, it drips down into where I live and trickles down, but I don't really get hammered too hard by this stuff, but it still bothers me. We've talked about this, but it went into effect today. Several well-known fast food chains, including Chipotle, McDonald's, Starbucks, Jack in the Box, and Shake Shack, are gearing up to increase menu prices in response to California's mandatory minimum wage hike for fast food workers to $20 an hour, set to take effect today, April 1st. This impending change has spurred these chains to reassess their operational strategies to mitigate the impacts of rising labor costs. Consequently, customers should prepare for the likelihood of paying more for their meals. Meanwhile, smaller independent businesses are grappling with the challenges of retaining their employees and may find themselves needing to raise wages as well. This wage increase, which applies to fast food workers in chains boasting more than 60 locations nationwide, will result in substantial salary increases for many workers, but also carries the potential for increased cost for customers. Bravo, California! Bravo for finally getting these hardworking fast food employees who don't seem to understand the words "no tomatoes on my burger" a raise. Good job. Now, which one of you guys are going to tell a whole bunch of them that they're going to lose their jobs? Because that's what's going to happen. Yes, layoffs have already begun here in the Golden State. So, few months ago, maybe a year ago, these people went into the streets and demanded more money. We want more money. We want a living wage. Well, you got it. And while a few of you are now going to be making $20 an hour, the rest of you are getting pink slips. And you know how this is going to end. The Democrats are going to blame the Republicans like they do for everything else. All right, more California news. Amazon and MGM Studios are making The Accountant 2, starring Ben Affleck and John Bernthal. They have nabbed California's production tax credit. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, because California has been losing a lot of Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood still votes for them and panders to them, and they have this sort of, I don't know, creepy relationship. But money's money. So when it got too costly to make movies here in California, they started going to other, not only other states, but other countries. And like if you watch a lot of movies and you watch the credits all the way to the end, you'll see a big peach and it says the Georgia Commission of Production or something like that. Because a lot of stuff gets made in Georgia because it's cheaper there. They don't have the taxes like they do here. Well, California now has this. Well, they've always had a tax credit, but they've made it more enticing. So Colleen Bell, CFC's executive director, noted that 41% of the filming days generated by the films will take place outside of Los Angeles. Like, they talked in this article about a bunch of films. They're doing that Mandalorian and Grogu. If you're into Star Wars, they're making that movie here. But anyway, outside of Los Angeles County's 30-mile zone. Cameras, speaking of which, have you heard of TMZ, where they do all the celebrity gossip and Hollywood stuff? TMZ stands for 30-mile zone. And that is a reference to something the unions have. I don't understand the whole thing. My buddy that's in the movie trade explained it to me one time. But basically, if they go outside of 30 miles from Hollywood, they get paid a higher wage because it's out of the 30-mile zone for whatever reason. I don't know. But anyway, out of the 30-mile zone, cameras will roll in such locations as San Diego, Joshua Tree, Orange County, San Bernardino, Upland, San Francisco, Marin County, and Alameda County. So part of the reason I did that story is just so you could see that California is hurting in a big way and trying to get revenue back to the state. So they're giving, what they're doing is a very conservative type action, even though we are run by Democrats here, but they are giving tax relief so you will do business in our state. Now, notice that they hate conservatism, but it works. So they do it when they need to. But that's part of the reason why I was telling this story. The other part was because if you are a fan of the movie The Accountant, which a lot of people are, I thought it was okay, but a lot of people really love that movie. They are making The Accountant 2. So there you go. You got another one in the works. But my question is, are they going to kill his dog this time? You see, because John Wick, they killed his dog, and it's kind of... Never mind. Okay. From the people who want to save democracy. They are hard at work at saving it again. Yes, lucky us. From AccurateShooter.com, more California news. Now this one, I typically don't read the entire story. This is a short one, so I'm going to read the entire thing. I guess you could call it plagiarism. It's their story. But anyway, I'm going to read it. And you'll see... Just the stupidity abounds here in California. And it's not really all stupidity. It's evil. Because time and time again, California has made absurd gun laws. And it keeps going all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court smacks California's ass and says, nope, you can't do that. That is against the Second Amendment. And California says, okay, and then they go back and they try it all over again. And there needs to be some sort of mechanism where it costs California money or people go to jail for taking away our rights, our civil liberties. But it never does. So it's just a vicious cycle here in California. But here's the newest scheme for gun control in California. This is from AccurateShooter.com. California, which already has the most restrictive gun control laws in the country, is adopting new legislation that could significantly increase the cost of gun ownership. As a purported effort to reduce noise pollution, California will be imposing a sonic tax on gun owners. Yes, you heard that right. A sonic tax on gun owners, based on the tested sound levels of rifles, pistols, and shotguns. The California State Legislature has passed a new measure, California Senate Bill 1253, which will tax gun owners based on the noise level of their guns. It is expected that It's not expected. He will sign this. It is expected that Governor Gavin Newsom will sign this new legislation this week, and it will go into effect on January 1st. Now, before I go on, any of you out there that don't live in California, if Gavin Newsom ever gets anywhere near the White House, remember stories like this, because he will do this nationwide. He will try to do it nationwide, and he'll do just like they've done in California, where Supreme Court will knock it down, and they'll just change a couple words in the law, throw it out there again, and then it'll take years for it to get back to the Supreme Court. And in that meantime, you will have restricted firearm rights. But anyway... Under SB 1253, all guns must be tested for sound levels each year. This is a yearly tax. Then an annual fee of $1 per decibel recorded will be charged for each firearm. That will prove costly, A 22 long rifle pistol can produce 140 decibels for a $140 annual tax, while a large rifle with a muzzle brake can generate up to 185 decibels, and they have a chart that shows you all the guns, that would obligate the rifle owner to pay $185 a year. While suppressors would reduce sound levels and fees, suppressors are illegal in California under Penal Code 33410. So you see how that works? They are concerned about decibel levels, noise, from guns. But you can't own a suppressor which takes down the noise. That's California for you. In addition to the actual sonic tax, gun owners must pay a $35 per test to have their gun's noise tested and certified. So not only is it a dollar per decibel, you got to pay $35. I don't know if that's per gun or just pay the $35 and get all your guns tested. I don't know. All gun owners are required to get a noise... Now, this is the enforcement arm, and listen to how they do this. I just went to the range today, and this pisses me off to no end. All gun owners are required to get a noise level check each year for every gun they own, much like California residents must get mandatory smog checks for each vehicle they drive. Sonic tax certification and approval cards. Under SB 1253, all gun owners must have their firearms tested annually for sound levels at an approved gun range. After sonic verification, with payment of the decibel-based sonic tax, the gun owner will then be issued a sound verification card, aka a sonic permit. This card must be then presented when individuals shoot at any indoor or outdoor gun range. So see, that's how they get you. If you try to say, screw you, I'm not doing that, and then you go to the gun range, the gun range, for fear of being shut down, will have to ask everybody for these cards. And if you don't have the card, you don't get to shoot. I know. Stupid. Let's go into the penalties for this. The new law, California SB 1253, expands on current state noise restrictions. Under Section 415 of the California Penal Code, it is illegal for any resident to knowingly create loud or unreasonable noises as a means of disturbing others. Those convicted of violating this law face a maximum of 90 days in jail and/or a maximum fine of $400. Under the new law, any gun owner who discharges a non-sonic permitted firearm will be subject to $1,000 in fines for discharging the gun, even at a shooting range. In addition, if a gun range operator fails to verify a customer's gun has been sonic tested, the range owners can be liable for up to $5,000 in fines. So they're coming after the gun owners and trying to punish us. But people on Harleys or any of these motorcycles that have the absurdly loud mufflers on them. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand why they have loud mufflers. But some of these a-holes buy the most brain-numbing muffler they can find. And it makes a shitload of noise. I don't know. What about the illegals that have their parties into the wee hours of the morning playing El Bando Macho music? Not going to fine them for making noise, but gun owners are going to get fined. This is just stupidity at its best. And again, I believe it will get shot down, but it's going to take years to get to the Supreme Court. And then once it gets there and gets shot down, they're just going to change a few words here and a few words there, and they're going to submit it again and approve it again, and we'll start the whole process all over again. That's how California works. All right. Now that I've left you scratching your head and thinking, what in the hell is wrong with those people in California? I'll leave you scratching your head again with some weird news.
It's time for Weird News.
First story up, we will call this Mexlexico. An eerie video recorded on social media in Mexico shows the moment when a department store security guard stumbles upon a group of Alexa devices praying in the middle of the night. The bizarre incident reportedly occurred early this month as the man was making his rounds at the Iron Palace shop in Mexico City. At approximately 2 a.m., the security guard was stunned when several of the store's Alexa devices suddenly began reciting the Catholic devotion known as the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. Particularly chilling about the strange scene was that there appeared to be one device leading the virtual prayer service, which echoed throughout the otherwise empty store. Now, I gotta say, I watched this video while I was grabbing the story to read, and it is creepy. It is really creepy because the store is all dark. There's just a few of the like cases that hold the merchandise with lights in them. So it's really dark, but with just a little bit of light. And the guy is slowly walking up on it. And if you've ever seen any of these Alexa devices, they have a light on them. So when it's talking, the light is sort of talking, strobing with the talking. And there's like three or four of them, and they are all saying the prayer at the same time. So it's like if you were in a church and everybody was saying the prayer at the same time. But it's just creepy. All right. Since being posted on TikTok over the weekend, the spooky video has gone viral in Mexico, amassing a staggering 13 million views to date and sparking all manner of theories as to what unfolded in the department store that night. Some viewers offered the intriguing suggestion that perhaps the devices were being used by ghosts, in an attempt to hasten their journey to heaven, while others theorized that the incident might be some kind of Easter-related divine message. Meanwhile, more skeptical viewers suggested that someone could have simply programmed the devices to recite the prayer as part of an elaborate prank to terrify the unfortunate security guard. Well, it seemed to work, because the guy seemed a little freaked out. All right, story number two, we'll call this one Bananarama. A Pennsylvania gas station was recently the site of a bizarre banana fight that turned into a brawl that ultimately left one man in the hospital and another behind bars. According to a local media report, the truly weird incident unfolded on Monday at a Sunoco in the city of Pittsburgh. While working at the gas station that day, Yabarja Budathaki's shift was suddenly interrupted by a banana-wielding customer who charged into the store and pelted the employees with the fruit. Somehow, more bananas wound up in the mix, and a full-blown food fight erupted between the workers and the unarmed man until the strange skirmish took a decidedly darker turn. According to police, the customer who initiated the banana brouhaha proceeded to punch Budathaki in the face before smartly fleeing the store. However, authorities say his getaway was not quite quick enough, as a clerk caught up with the man and laid the proverbial smackdown to him with a PVC pipe. While some might see the circumstances surrounding the fruit fight to be amusing in their absurdity, the outcome of the odd showdown was no laughing matter, as the customer ultimately wound up needing to be hospitalized, and Budathaki has been charged with recklessly endangering another person and aggravated assault for the fruit fight that went wildly awry. So this poor, most likely immigrant man, legal immigrant man, who's just running his convenience store, beats the crap out of a dude with a PVC pipe for throwing bananas at him, and he gets thrown in jail. Something ain't right here. And finally, in weird news, we'll call this one, We Got Him Now. Let's see. In reporting the sighting to the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, or the BFRO, the witnesses indicated that the suspected Sasquatch was moving across very rugged terrain towards a tree line where it ultimately vanished from sight. The motorcyclist that reported this went on to marvel that the creature moved so fluently with little arm movement, unlike a human running. The sighting proved to be promising enough for the BFRO, who dispatched an investigator to look into the report, and he concluded that, based on the description of the way the creature walked and its speed across the terrain, he believed that the three witnesses were fortunate enough to have seen a Sasquatch. News on the February sighting was subsequently picked up by local newspaper The Chronicle, which did a story on the possible Bigfoot observation last week. However, shortly after the account was published, the case unraveled as a high school cross-country runner, Gunnar Morgan, stepped forward with a rather remarkable revelation. "That Sasquatch running was me," the teen told the newspaper, explaining that he and his cousin run often in the exact spot in the wilderness area. As for how they could have resembled the famously sizable cryptid moving in such an unusual fashion, he suggested that it was because they were running side by side and we run extremely fluidly compared to most people. Now, I read this story for one simple reason. To say, see? We don't exist. Stop trying to find us. There's no such thing as a Sasquatch. Stop trying to take our picture. Leave us alone. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed the show. And as always, we want to hear from you. You can hit us up at DentonandSashShow@gmail.com. As we finish up here, I, like always, want to remind everyone to be sure to tell your loved ones how much you care about them. We seem to take each other for granted, and we need to slow down occasionally and remember why we do the things we do and why we fight the fight we fight. Get it? Fight, we fight, we fight. You never know. You could get whacked by a banana at a convenience store. So just remember, we are doomed. So drink up and have yourself a good night.
I said I wish that we could stay here, but I fear our time has come. We could ride out in the darkness, chasing the rising sun. We gotta pack our bags this instant. We're heading southbound to the next town. And if we arrive there so safely, baby, you can lay down.